This is KINS. Today is Friday, May 18th, the 139th day of the year. Today's guest on Brian Papstein's Talk Shop is the Humboldt Fire Protection District 1 Chief Ken Woods. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, oh, you got to love that, huh? Anonymous.
Anonymous.
You're very prolific.
There's a lot of those.
Very prolific. Quote, a friend is someone who can sing you the song of your heart when you've forgotten it.
Yeah, someone's got to remember it then. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Oh, geez. So how is the project at Hubbard Lane coming along?
The project is coming along very, very well now. We can see light at the end of the tunnel, and in fact, hopefully within a few weeks, we will be moving in. The crew will be moving from the Redwood Acres Fairground and occupying the new second story, and then we'll
move. You guys are living across the street in the trailers?
They're living under the grandstand. And they've been over there for over a year now. And then the office side of the organization.
Waiting for free popcorn at the race night?
That's right. Yeah. Well, they get a good view right out the window, though. They have to wear earplugs. But no. And then the office had been over on Fern Street. So once we get the crew moved over and the engine back in there, then we'll move the office side into the first floor. But we're real excited, and we're going to have a open house for the public. It's just a real nice facility. And it's, again, going to last us, hopefully, for another 60 years like this first one did. But we're really proud and pleased to be able to get back in there soon and take advantage of it.
How about relieved?
That, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is there any progress, Ken, going on with the station by the Eureka Mall? I know you'd shared about 6 months ago that there was some stuff that might really work out very cool. I don't know if it was a land exchange program or what the situations were.
We had looked at with the school district exchanging some land and potentially building a new station. Currently, nothing else that I know of has been done. We did make some minor modifications within the station, make it a little more livable for the crews, but it was, you know, putting in some individual dorm rooms so the crews don't have to listen to each other snore all night long. So that was a big improvement, and didn't cost very much money. So the guys get a little more sleep between running calls at night.
Now, when was the last time the chief spent a night at that station and was subject to all those snores?
This chief?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, interesting. So you're operating now purely on hearsay.
Yes, okay. I am trying to make it a little more livable for the guys, and I think we did that, and it's an advantage because they do run a lot of calls out of that station, and getting sleep at night is sometimes tough between responding to all the medicals.
Is that – it's not your busiest station.
At times it is.
It alternates between headquarters and
that station 3, and many times that is our busiest station due to their location there.
In and out is, I can't imagine it's ever been easy. With having that new stoplight that's there on Harris, does that help out at all, or because it's a block up, that doesn't really?
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
No, that really doesn't make much difference for us. So that's one thing is, you know, we're always concerned as people come down westbound Henderson towards the station there. We are always concerned about someone coming into the station and landing their car through there. We've had a couple close calls. So
really?
Yeah. Just missing the side of the station there as they come down Henderson at a high rate of speed and that little jog turn there. So,
you know, in all the years, I don't think I can recall. There must have been, but I can't ever recall somebody running into the side of the fire. I mean, the station, you would remember, I would think.
Yeah.
I would like to think that I would remember something. I don't recall that ever happening.
It's been some very close calls, hitting the telephone poles out there and things like that. And, of course, the convenience is the guys are quick response because they're right there. But not necessarily the best situation if a vehicle comes through where they're sleeping in their dorm. So
yeah, yeah, it would be like somebody clipping the pole in front of the PG&E office.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that they would probably get some response there a little bit quicker than they do for the rest of us.
That's
huh?
right. That's right.
Maybe not. Well, they might have backup
can't
generators.
Speak for them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's too funny. Well, and it certainly would be a little less convenient because then the donut shop would be across the street.
Yeah, that
rather
too.
Than
and
across
that
the
can
fence.
Be a busy place at time for other folks. I'm not going to mention any other public employees.
Oh. See, I was saying you guys just walked there. You walked through the walkthrough. Yeah, and you just
firefighters
everything
are,
you can
more
carry.
Ice cream related.
Oh, boy. That, well, that really puts you guys, that's like a block and a half away.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 422. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 424. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods, a man who's still looking for his patch. I looked.
Close.
I looked.
Close,
yeah, yeah.
In fact.
That's what Billy said last time he came in and pinch hit for you, too.
Voting.
Really close. Really close.
Tomorrow, we're down to two selections. And the voting is being
and one says Eureka,
closely
one says
tabulated. No, it all says Humble Bay Fire.
Oh, okay, good.
The results will be tabulated by Price Waterhouse and kept in a vault.
Oh, I thought it was by those donut people.
Donut people.
I mean, since you're not going to say who they are, I'm not going to divulge your secret.
No, they're not involved with this. This will be strictly a fire department event and. We'll decide here tomorrow, the final voting, on what the outcome of the two patch choices are. We're going to get that out here pretty soon, and everybody's going to be wearing the same patch, and we're pretty excited about it.
Cool. One on both sleeves or just one on one sleeve?
Both sleeves.
Good deal. Then I can give the guys a hard time at the grocery store.
Yeah, you can.
Jeez. Some of the evolution that's going on. I would I would imagine 80% of it would be going on anyway because you're the new guy. New guy for this firehouse, new guy for that firehouse. I mean, new guys just bring new stuff, new ideas, or bring back old ones that were really good that for whatever reason kind of fell by the wayside.
In some ways, I am the new guy, but I've been here for over 3 years, and because the city and the fire district have worked so closely together, I am a known commodity that way, and we have worked closely together and done a lot of things together. So the consolidation is really new ground where we haven't been, and we are making just a huge number of changes operationally, policies, procedures, with our volunteers.
Is it all stuff you'd be doing any, or you would have wanted to do anyway? But this gives you the kind of the window of opportunity, perhaps, to drive it home a little bit sooner?
It really is. And as we work towards one form of governance, it's just like the joint purchasing, where we can put all our folks together and now start to purchase with a higher volume of folks and get a better deal from our vendors out there. Policies, procedures, we do things to align those anyways over the years, but it's much easier to do under one name, under one roof, and as one body instead of two separate ones. So a lot of new things, but making a lot of progress in a number of different areas. And I think we really are more efficient than we ever have been.
last time you chose not to show up.
I don't know if I was invited.
The guy that did show up was talking about the fire truck and
right.
the flexibility that that unit has. Do you think that people in our area fully grasp not only the need, but the flexibility that this unit that has never been around here before is really going to be able to provide not only in the emergency situations going up, but just with the activities that you guys do and some of the weird challenges?
Yeah, I think because it is a different type vehicle to this area, it took a lot of research and convincing of our own guys to see what was out there and the advantages of this vehicle. And, you know, we spent a good 7 months looking at a number of different types of apparatus, talking to people that have used them, talking to mechanics, seeing where they operate, how they operate. And it really opened all our guys' eyes to the great advantages that this vehicle will have with its maneuverability and its additional compartment space.
The one thing Billy was really pushing hard was that it's kind of like a trailer also. If everything's in one unit, boom, you go. And if you have to drop,
right.
you drop. And if you don't have to, you got everything on board.
The compartmentation is just 2 to 3 times more than what we're used to. And you know, we have so many different types of specialized equipment that we carry depending on the type of call, whether it be water rescue, whether it be a medical, whether it be a structure fire, confined space. We have a lot of our equipment that is scattered through a number of different trailers that we keep out back of the station, and we hook up a pickup when we need to and take those with us. And this will be able to put a lot of that equipment into one vehicle, get to the scene with a crew of 4 ready to immediately start to mitigate the emergency. So that's a huge advantage to us, and the maneuverability is just amazing. You really have to see it to believe it, and our guys in their research went out, rode on calls with other departments, and were just really astonished at where that big vehicle can go, how it can get out of places, and just the great advantage over the current truck that we have now.
The fact that you've got some of the rural nature as well as the urban nature.
Right.
Does this rig really better accommodate both scenarios?
Absolutely. And that was one of the situations and the concerns that we have as it works now with our current truck, which is a large platform truck with a single chassis. When it needs to go, when we get a call out in the more rural areas of the fire district, we have to take our people off that vehicle. We have to put them onto a smaller engine. That takes time, and then they respond in that smaller engine. So this vehicle gives us the flexibility to immediately respond because we have that maneuverability. So it's, again, getting all those different types of pieces of equipment that we need, the tools, immediately anywhere we want to go. Just a huge another advantage there.
Now, it's going to live downtown, right?
It will, right downtown. And its primary focus is going to be the downtown area. That's why it has the 100-foot aerial ladder on it, and that's for the Old Town area primarily. But it will be capable of really going anywhere.
That's what I was going to ask. I know you haven't done your sprint times yet.
Not yet.
If you had to respond, let's say, to freshwater.
Right.
Okay. Normally it's going out of Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But by the time you loaded up, trailered up, hooked up, hitched up, went, versus this guy rocking and rolling coming down 7th Street.
Exactly.
Who gets there first?
The Hubbard Street station, you know, on Harris, is going to by far be the fastest to anything on the east side of town. But we had, you know, several months ago.
With the gear needed to do the job.
Well, no. That's just the first initial engine crew. So the trailers are going to come out of our headquarters station downtown, and they're going to be considerably later than that first initial engine crew arriving on scene. Again, this gives us the ability to get that crew out from headquarters right away to the scene.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431. We'll be back with more from Chief Ken Woods.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the Lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the Lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the Lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Bay Fire District Chief Ken Woods. Ken, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, I think most folks now are probably familiar with the concept that in our region, most fire is actually medical aid. Volunteer guys in the roles.
Right.
But around the Bay Area, the greater Bay Area of Fortuna, that's the bulk
of our calls, right? That's 60-70% of our calls.
What do you see that's going on out there? Are we seeing drug overdoses? Are we seeing domestic abuse and things like what are you seeing that's the causing agent or one of the leading agents for medical aid response?
Yeah, the drug issue is huge. We respond on just a very large number of medical calls related to drugs, the initial side of as well as the population ages. We respond on older individuals, whether it be strokes, chest pain, difficulty breathing, a large number of those. And a portion of our calls are public assist service calls where someone has fallen, they can't get up, they may not necessarily be injured, but we will come out, help them get back up into their chair, into bed, and really try to assist them in any way they can. And then finally, the big one lately for us has been vehicle accidents involving pedestrians. We've had a number of individuals hit by vehicles, and when you have a vehicle versus a person, of course, the chances for greater injury are very great, and we've been seeing a lot of those lately.
Is that like on 6th Street? We had one today going to lunch and going down 6th. Three cars stopped in the left lane. The guy in front of us in the right wasn't sure. Finally, the guy in the corner waved the vehicles on so that he could walk across.
Go through.
And not have the gauntlet, not have the concerns, and not have the safety issues.
Yeah.
Is that the scenario that plays out, or are these the goofs walking, wandering across 4th and 5th?
You know, there are a portion of those are people that are in crosswalks and just not, whether it's a driver not paying attention or somebody just stepping out into the crosswalk. But a lot of our calls related to people running across the street, not in crosswalks, not paying attention to their environment. And we get a lot of them on Broadway and with a, you know, that's a highway, and you have two lanes each way. People are moving at fairly good speeds. At night, dark clothing is another huge problem, but we're getting a lot of vehicles versus pedestrians, and it's a major concern for us because, again, the injuries can be very significant.
The win ratio so far for the vehicles?
The vehicles are ahead.
They're leading the pack. Okay.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense to do it the other way.
No, it doesn't.
When you see some of the areas, some of the shopping areas, and people are crossing from one storefront to the other across the street, not at the corners, not at the crosswalks. There may not even be crosswalks in a lot of them. Is that where these things are? Do you see the potential for these areas to become more problematic also as summertime comes up?
Yeah, I think as more people get out, as the weather improves, hopefully, it is a lot in mid-block where there aren't the crosswalks. People don't want to take the time to walk down to the corner where they're more visible, where it's more expected that you're going to see somebody crossing the street, and it's people back and forth mid-block where, you know, you just don't expect somebody to be darting out in the middle of the road there.
So when you guys roll up to a scene like that,
right,
how tough is it?
It's tough because, number one, we still have to deal with traffic, first of all, coming up behind us or towards us. We're trying to block the scene to protect the victims who may have already been hit, and also protect our own crews as they get out to help the victims.
And that makes it tough. And also then sorting out where are the vehicles that were involved? Was it one vehicle that struck a person? Is there a couple vehicles involved? Is it a vehicle accident then that transpired and hit somebody else, a pedestrian? And it takes a little bit of just really surveying the scene, first of all, when the crew gets there, identifying the number of victims, their injuries, and then really prioritizing how we're going to treat those individuals. And sometimes when you get the vehicle accidents as well, then you've got the additional problems of spills, possibly a vehicle fire, all those kind of things that go with it.
When you're in that scenario, I know that the cops will come in and they kind of do their thing also. But until they get there,
mm-hmm.
the traffic that you were alluding to, are there mm-hmm. many firemen who are killed, not yeah. inside of fires,
right?
But that kind Absolutely. Of a medical aid response?
Yeah, it's, and we get updates every day about firefighter losses throughout the country, and it is extremely common to have firefighters struck while they are directing traffic, while they are working at a vehicle accident scene, whether it be a rural road, a highway, a residential street. That's one of the biggest losses of firefighters is being struck by vehicles as well. People do not necessarily pay attention to the red lights, to the need to slow down when you see those and pull to the right, or if they're stopped, for you to stop as well. People are in a hurry, they're trying to get where they want to go, and they want to get through the scene, and it causes some real problems for us when we are trying to treat a victim, yet we have to watch our back to keep from our guys getting hit.
Yeah, I would... You don't try to blend into the background too much. I mean,
we certainly don't.
You got the lights going. You guys are running around either with the funny yellow stripes or the white shirts. You really almost have to be asleep not to see that something's going on. And if it's abnormal, normal inclination is to slow down and gawk, but you're slowing down.
But people now with their phones and text messaging, and of course, you know, they're not always listening to the right radio station. They be listening to other stations, not like this,
Slime.
Where they're distracted. And we want to avoid that, get them off the radio, and, you know, at least on your station, they're getting this kind of good information. So then they can pay attention when they come up on these type of events.
You know, for still only being with us for a couple of years, he's doing a far better job than that last guy. Yeah, we'll find out if Eric's still out there, too. KINS, News and Information Time.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:45. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, fire season. I don't know. Do you guys ever get out of fire season?
Not really. You know, structure fire season is always here, but as far as the vegetation side, yeah, it is cyclical, particularly up here where we get a lot of rain. But we're looking at June 15th as the opening of fire season. We'll see between now and then how much additional rain, if any, we get. But that's what Cal Fire particularly is looking at their target date. And
what does that mean, fire season?
It means that the fuel load is at a point where humidities start to drop, fuel loads start to increase, and Cal Fire, of course, who's responsible for the state wildland areas, starts to staff up their stations and their crews, increase staffing, and we're start to be on high alert until really fire season ends with rains, of course, in this part of the world up here.
So when that happens, because such a large percentage of you guys, your district area of responsibility is in that, do you do anything different? Do you park like one of the trucks down at Freshwater Pond or out in Cutton so that you're a little bit closer?
We do operate differently. Our crews have wildland firefighting gear, which is separate from our structure gear. So they start carrying that on all the engines on a regular basis. We have, particularly on the district side, a smaller engine that is much more capable of dealing with wildfires. It has four-wheel drive, shorter turning radius, those types of things, and we put those type of units in service, and we'll run those throughout the summer. We carry a little bit different hose loads. We'll carry hose packs that are made up of lighter hose, which can be deployed for wildland-type fires and not as heavy and thick as what we use for structure fires. So we do operate a little bit differently.
What's the difference in the hose? Capacity or yeah, pressure it can withstand?
Capacity and size. So on our normal structure fires, the line that may go in to extinguish a fire in a house is normally 1¾ inches in size, up to 2.5. On a wildland fire, the normal size will be 1½ inches or a 1-inch hose. So less water capacity, less pressure, but it gives us the ability to be much more lighter, put hose, deploy it out at a longer distance, and get it into areas that you need to, around brush, those types of things. It's just easier to move and maneuver.
Do you guys use or have target practice? The difference with the hose, I mean, somewhat facetious, but not too much. If it's a different spray that's coming out and it's different pressure and it's going different distances,
yeah,
if you're out in the wild or the hinterlands, let's say out cutting.
Right, right.
Yeah, and the wind is blowing a little bit.
Sure.
It's a whole different dynamic than if you're 25 feet away and you've got a river that you're just blasting away at.
Yeah, it really is. It's a different type of training where we do what's called a progressive hose lay, where if we have fire, for instance, burning up a hillside, you may not be able to get an engine up the hill. What we do is we'll put these hose packs into service whereby you throw out a length of 100-foot hose, and then you start to chase the fire, and immediately when you get to the end of the hose, you'll shut the hose off, you'll connect a 100-foot hose from there, chase the fire from there, you get to the end of that section, you add another section of hose, and you can extend these hose for hundreds and hundreds of feet when you need to. And it is a totally different type of firefighting than what we normally deal with our structure fires. And our guys undergo a lot of training in the springtime, beginning of summer, to, again, pick those skills back up and familiarize themselves with those type of equipment and be ready to go anywhere in the state, really, if they're called.
And the new trucks have the hose adapters for either?
Exactly. They do.
Just thought I'd...
Yeah, that's important.
Bring that... Yeah, yeah.
It is important, right.
You show up the wrong...
Yeah.
Oops! That'd be a conversation I wouldn't want to have with my superior.
No. I don't want to have that either, so...
I imagine. Well, not that you're my superior.
Not yet.
I kind of perceive that we're more equals.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming by, Ken.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.